Father, we thank you and praise you for that love of God that was brought forth in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for that born-again nature and everything that the blood set us free from and free to. Father, we worship you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. You know our language that we speak. When we say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done to you and I, it means a lot different than a catch-all prayer. He gave 66 books, 39 in the old and 27 in the new. And just in case you and I would get it wrong, just in case, because it's very possible. That's why so many preachers disagree. He sent a teacher. He sent a teacher. And with the teacher, he gave a language. And specifically noted what that language was for, just so we wouldn't get that messed up. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that if we pray in an unknown tongue, we edify ourselves. And then he goes on in that chapter to describe that that edification produces the same process that takes place in the edification of the church when somebody stands up, pastor or elder or somebody that's qualified to do so and brings forth prophecy that brings forth doctrine and understanding. So what is he saying? Praying in tongues produces understanding of his word so you and I don't get it messed up. Hallelujah. So we don't get it messed up. Hallelujah. So that when we're praying for people, we know what his will is. We do know what his will is. So it's not like, see, there's the toughest thing right there, especially when you're praying for people in other churches and different things, because you don't know what they believe. And they can be born again and love God, and they're not second class to us. If you're born again, you're born again. The only thing is, you disqualify about 75 to 80%. That's a low conservative figure of your chances of getting healed from something terminal based on what you believe. Now, if you believe through Scripture, and we're not going to go into it tonight. I'm not even preaching tonight. Somebody else is. But line on line, precept on precept, hundreds of scriptures we've come to know and understand as the foundation that it is God's will. Whether or not it happens or not, one thing we have concluded, if there's a breakdown in human weakness, that's okay. Whether it happens or doesn't happen, one thing you've got to know is, before you ever get ready to punt the ball, before you ever get ready to move in, to believe in for something, for somebody to live, or for that person especially, they've got to know this, that it is God's will to heal, and it's God's will to heal all the time. And it's God's will to heal everybody all the time. He who spared not his own son, Romans 8, how shall he not? Analytical question, like two lawyers have a fight. How can you read? How could? They're like, are you serious? This is what the debate was. It was like, if God spared not his own son, it's like a legal debate. How would he not with him freely give us all things? If it said in Isaiah 53:5 that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. And then Peter looks back on it, 1 Peter 2:23, and says, with his stripes we were healed. And if you look at the ministry of Jesus, and it said all that ever came before him, he healed every single one of them. Now, what's your percentage, Pastor? Not what his is, but I am striving towards my prototype. And I do know this, that if I go into it, see, there's in the revival, you can bring them in here. And even if they've been taught wrong, Jesus said this. He said, take heed to what you hear. Take heed to what you hear. Because if the light that be in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, what does that mean? If the light that's in you be darkness, how can light be darkness? He said, take heed to what you hear. If you sit for years under a ministry that tells you, well, listen, sometimes he does and sometimes he doesn't. And they explain it away that way. The only problem was that is that's light. Jesus, what he was teaching, if you follow that whole thing there, he's teaching that the light is doctrine. It's what you perceive to be truth. And if what you perceive to be truth is darkness, meaning if it's man's fables or what man's out of his intellect comes up with, if you sit for years underneath that light that you perceive to be light, you testify, my pastor taught me this. If that light is darkness, if it's not true light, how great is that darkness? What Jesus is saying is this. If you believe something to be truth, you'll garrison and guard your whole world around that truth and say, no, that's the Word of God. But he says, how great is that darkness? Because everything from that point on in your life is perceived out of that light. And if it's darkness, my God. And I don't know about these guys she's praying for. What if they're taught that if sometimes it's his will and sometimes it's not, oh, thy kingdom come. If you want to heal me, God, then I thank you that you will. If you don't want to, well, listen, you're already on a fast track. Because if you're stepping in and the doctor tells you, listen, Mr. Flint, we got a bad report. Okay, I don't want to like to hear bad reports, but let me hear it. You're going to die because you got cancer. Now, if I've got inside of me a doctrine that's running and says that didn't come from God, God don't want it for my life, and I can fight this thing because I believe that with my dying breath, I can say this, God desires to heal everybody all the time. Then I've got a good chance of beating that thing. But if I look at it and say, no, wait a minute. Some people he does heal and some people he doesn't. I mean, I might be one of the ones that he doesn't. I mean, he rolled the dice and I don't know if I got, my God, praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Thank God for sound doctrine. Folks, did we have hey Brad, it's good to see you. Did we have a wonderful day Sunday in the Lord? I tell you what, I don't want to, we're nothing in and of ourselves. And I don't want to build some kind of epilogue here of like, wow, we've reached something. I just want to tell you, I want to brag on Jesus for a minute. Is that right? Isn't that the right way? Let's memorialize some things for just a moment. I hope you go away like I do sometimes and just savor the moments. I hope you go away. I hope every service is not like a Rolodex to you and you just, I hope that it, no matter what kind of busy mom you are, or busy dad, or workplace that you have, I hope that on the ride home or sitting Sunday afternoon or someplace that you are recount how good God is. And you think about the prophecies that have come forth. We offer those prophecies to you on a weekly basis. If they come, we don't obviously fabricate these things or expect them of ourselves, but we believe God does every part of it. And so I'll tell you, Sunday was so wonderful. It's the second visit that we've had like that in the last 3 or 4 weeks. And I hope that those of you that are keeping account of those kinds, I'm talking about where God came and so hovered over this place. Now, if the only way I can describe it, I don't know how long it lasted. It may have been 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, but if you can, there was not a sound And that's not an earmark to whether gods are not in or out of the house. It was a very unusual. For about 15, 20 minutes, there wasn't a kid that said a word. The awesomeness of God's presence was so wonderful that Callie Pearl yelled out, "My God, Pastor, I'm about to bust." And when she's about to bust, the glory is here. Hallelujah. Folks, he's preparing us for something. And if there's anything I want to do, I want to be... Candy was reading a psalm tonight. Do you know he draws close to the thankful heart? If you're continually thankful for what he's given you, and even when things are close, and even when the finances are close, and even when this and that is, it seems like if you think, well, I deserve. There's one thing to believe you're a king's kid, and I understand that. But if you've got a chip on your shoulder, like I deserve more, and I don't, you know, and why isn't God doing? You're alienating yourself. He said he draws nigh to the contrite heart, to the man or woman that'll get down and thank him. Like, I mean, see, I know it. You know. I know how to go to the next level. I know how to get from him. If that was my last can of pork and beans, I know to get down and just absolutely worship him and magnify him just like I had $1 million in the bank. And just thank him and glorify him like, I mean, just go to a place of exaggeration. You're lying. No, no, no. He is well worthy and more worthy than we can possibly give him. Hallelujah. I mean, we exhausted all day long and you haven't even begun to touch how worthy he is. So Sunday was so wonderful. And folks, all I can say is get ready. We're going to another level. Second visit like that, and where the awesomeness of his glory. And you know, he's going after souls a lot right now. And that intercession that came in here, and hallelujah. Besides for what he said through the word. Now, what wasn't, and I'm talking about him, not me, wasn't God good in the word? That's the second time he's come against that unjust judge. And didn't he explain some more stuff to you? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus went before us and destroyed this unjust judge? Showed us the pattern how to destroy him. Hallelujah. We win, Terry. We win. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, one time Pastor Dave, and he's coming. You know, I told you he'll be here in May. There was a prophecy that was given. Two things are happening. Two things. Seem like they're diametrically opposed, but yet in some way I know they're both at work. One I enjoy. The other one I take no pleasure in so much, except knowing that it's going to be defeated, and it is. I know that God building us towards revival for a time and season have kept us where we're at numerically, in the sense that line on line, precept on precept, and continue to build the place of foundation in hearts and lives of God's people. At the same time, if you sat as an individual in what we all sat in Sunday, and how many services have we seen like that through the years? Wasn't that a wonderful testimony that Deanne gave about, she was talking about how that, thank God, Pastor Dave's coming. You remember that? But she said, I want to reaccount. I was scheduled for a hysterectomy here, and I didn't have to have it. I got my healing of something else right here, and I didn't have to have it, or got my whatever it was. I got filled with the Holy Ghost right here. I received an answer to prayer. She was talking about, she gave a panoramic view of all the different stages of her life and different places in this auditorium where God's miracle working power. Folks, he's already working. Revival's coming, but revival now is, in Jesus' name. So all I'm saying is that is, you just think, and this is not an indictment, it's just understanding the spiritual warfare. You'd think that the people that have sat through that and become accustomed to it, especially through the years, and visit and be looking for something. Do you know how many people sit in places every Sunday? And a service like Sunday would have changed their whole world. They don't even understand what's available. I know that we're looking for something beyond what we presently have. And we're so thankful for what we have, but yet we're not satisfied. Pastor Dave prophesied and he said, there is a spirit, and it is specifically assigned to do everything it can to keep the news of what's going on in this place from reaching out there. It's all right. It's lost in Jesus' name. And so many people come in, and yet they don't understand why that they don't come back, except for the fact that there's a tremendous warfare going on towards revival. But folks, services like Sunday breaks the back of that enemy. Glory be to God. Intercession like that breaks the back of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you've had a fight in this year over your finances. The church has had its war, but we're winning in Jesus' name. We're going to try to speed this along. Where's the offering buckets? I'm going to ask you to prepare right now, because in just a minute I'm going to ask Pastor Homer to come and just minister to us, whatever's on his heart. He's saving my voice towards Sunday, but he's always got something wonderful to say anyway. Hallelujah. And folks, I want us to do this. Let's pray that not only everything is met in the budget for this month for the church, but I really believe there's some families that we need to reach out to during this Christmas season. And let's believe God, that God blesses you, that you have the ability not only to give, but that we're able to take as a church and bless some of these other families. Hallelujah. So would you ask the Lord right now what He'd have you to give? Hallelujah. Father, we just love You. And we thank You for everyone that is here tonight. We thank You, Lord, that You brought them here. It was a journey that was destined in God. And they're not here because they just made it here. They're here because you brought them here to hear and to know and to understand how much You love them and what You've purposed for their life. I ask You now to just speak to our hearts in this time of giving and prepare us for the word that we're about to receive. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Marsha, if you'll place these things out. If you want to stand for just a moment, if you have something to bring, then bring it down. If you don't, then why don't you greet somebody next to you, and let's get prepared to go into the Word here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'll make you a promise. I got something for you that it will bless you. If you got an ear to hear God's Word, I guarantee you, you'll leave blessed out of this place. I promise you that. Because what we hold in our lap every day is our life. Reproofs of instruction. This is our life. This is our transformation right here. This is. Sometimes I hug this tighter than I hug my wife. I mean, honestly, I sleep with it. It sleeps with me under my pillow and my blanket. Why do you say that? Because I love God's Word. I love it. You know, the Bible says that it is our life. It says wisdom is the principal thing. You know what principle means? It means it ranks first. That's what the Hebrew says. It said wisdom is the principal thing. You can phrase it like this. Wisdom ranks first. That's what the Hebrew says. It says it's the chiefest. So if it ranks first and it's the chiefest and it's our life, it should never leave our grasp, man. This word's holy and it's undefiled. Not one blemish in it. Not one. This is our life. We're to call it our sister, our kinsman. We're to exalt it, love it, and embrace it. And in return, we get an ornament of grace upon our head. We get exaltation. We get peace. When we sleep in peace. When we wake up, it talks to us. Reproofs of instruction. Discretion. Understanding. It keeps us. I'm overwhelmed by it sometimes. It can change you if you let it. You know, you got to look for it. You got to look for wisdom. You got to search for it as you would a hidden treasure. Treasures, actually, is what the Hebrew says. Treasure. You got to look for it. He said, it's your life if you find it. My friends, blood was spilled for this book here. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. This is wisdom is the principal thing. It ranks first. Hallelujah. We're so blessed to be part of what we know to be the walk in the Spirit. I talked, it was Marty maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were talking outside. And I said, what makes me mad about knowing what we know is that we know that it's never anybody else's fault if we don't make it. That sort of makes you sick because it takes the blame off somebody else. And you think about it. Now, when you reach the point where you know it's not anybody else's fault, that's a step forward. Because if you're always a victim, you'll always lose. Because somebody will always control your peace. And I thank God so much for what we're taught here. We're not taught a bunch of emotion, but we're taught how to die to the things of this world. We're taught how to kick the immoral woman to the curb or the unrighteous judge. You don't see many here now, but I'm telling you. The day's coming where God's glory is going to be so manifest that we won't even have to say nothing, Pastor. Hallelujah. Wisdom is the principal thing. Hallelujah. I'm just overwhelmed. I really am. Just overwhelmed at who He is and what He can do if we let Him. If we search for Him as a hidden treasure and we cry out for knowledge and wisdom and search for understanding. It's all up to us. It is never, ever anybody else's fault. Never. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they didn't do, what they said or what they didn't say. It is never, ever nobody else's fault in this life. Never. Jesus could have blamed many, but He suffered the unjust, the just for the unjust, so that I could never open up my mouth and revile my brother. Set an example in their life. What a true Christian should be. But thank God for His word. It is our life. It is our life. Now I'm glad to bring forth the word today. I've been in Proverbs a lot with our teenagers lately. Having a good time. Our youth groups really had a good time. Having a good time with our youth group on Sunday night. I want to thank everybody that Souls, Matt and Ruben and those that help us and Terry. Somebody's got to get them here. And these men, you know, Matt has kids at home 20 miles away. And Barbara with her intercession. And it's making a difference. It's making a difference. And I thank you. I know it's the right thing to say. But if you knew how I felt about what you do, you'd know where I'm coming from in my heart about all the assistance that's given. Julio driving the bus, you know. And thank you guys so much. For your service to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Just, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not going to plan anything. Just what comes out, comes out. Hopefully I'm listening to you and I minister your wisdom. So here I am and ministering God's word to you. I promise you, you'll enjoy it. You will, because sometimes I feel like I don't do enough because there's so much of the Bible that I haven't read. But I'll stay in a particular pastor till I just receive what I need to receive out of it. And that's just how we're taught here. You know, I've been in Proverbs 1 through 7 and 15 over and over and over and over again. Why? Because I know there's something there the Lord wants to relate to me. I know what's next in my life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about 100 times nonstop. That's next. I'm fighting it. I'm fighting it. I honest to God, I'm fighting it. And I'm just, I mean, when I say nonstop, ladies and gentlemen, I mean nonstop. Just going through it. Read it. Tell them to read it. And that's all I know. Thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson that he taught us that. Because if it had not been for his teaching, there'd be no Rosie. There'd be no Homer's kids. There'd be no Jesus in my life. I had too much junk growing up. And no other church or no other preaching could have spared me and helped me through the mess that I grew up with. It just wouldn't have happened. I was so caught up in perversion. I was so caught up in the things of this world that nothing else could have helped me. Nothing. I would have been headed on a one-way collision with hell. But thank God that this man obeyed the Holy Ghost. And I am grateful to him. I am grateful to his obedience. I am grateful to the walk in the Spirit. I'm grateful to the meditation series, to the tongues of fire. I'm grateful for what he has put forth out of his will. Amen. If you can, turn to Proverbs 3 real quick. I won't keep you long. I don't preach that long. Besides, I'm hungry. I'm serious. Well, Reuben slipped me 50 and said, look, man, I got to watch a show at 8:45. I said, I'll be done by 8:30. So, you know, he's an elder of the church. So. Proverbs chapter 3. It's your fault, Pastor. You put me up here, man. It's your fault. I tried to warn you. You sure? She said, oh, he said, I'm sure. That's my first close. Ask Miriam, Terry. Ask Miriam, right? That's an inside joke. All right, God, you're going to be blessed, I promise you. Proverbs 3 and 1. My son or daughter, Miss Candy, so you won't get offensive. My son or my daughter, forget not my law, but let thine what? Let thine heart keep my commandments. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Proverbs, excellent book. He's telling us, my son, child of God, don't forget my law. Don't forget my word. He said, let your heart. Let your what? Your heart. Your heart, your soul, your mind, your intellect. He said, let that part of your soul, your heart, old covenant believer, aren't born again. So he couldn't say spirit. He said, let your heart keep my word. Let your heart retain all that is written. He said, don't just quote it and be content. He said, let your heart retain it. He said in other portions of Hebrews, of Proverbs, he said, bind it around your neck, tie it around your fingers, write it upon the table of thine heart. But let your heart retain my words. When we meditate, when we spend time with Jesus Christ, our soul is affected with all that is written. I said it once before, this is an external truth that was inside of an individual before. This is an external truth that was an internal truth to a believer. And he, inspired of the Holy Ghost, took what was in his heart, wrote it down, and it became 66 books for our benefit. So this was an internal thought made external with the hopes that the internal thought of the believer made external would once again be internal in me and you. So we have hope. Because this external truth, that is truth, it says in Psalms 18, it's holy, Pastor, and it's undefiled. It's pure than the purest of gold. Perfection, undefiled, is what this is. An external truth. I can take this external truth, and if I choose to, I can hide 66 books of perfection in my heart. That's where it's stored. He said, my son, forget not my law. Forget not my law, but let your heart keep what? My commandments. He said, keep my word. Keep my love. Keep my statutes. Keep my word. He didn't say to keep somebody else's word. He said, keep my word in your heart. And I was saying that, remember that. When we meditate the scriptures, our spirit is affected. The God's word is downloaded, but so is our soul. It's maintained and kept in our mind, in our soul. We're saturated. We're baptized with his word because it's retained in our heart. Now, how do you know when it's there? Well, when you walk in it or when you progressively walk in it. See, the church is so content with memorizing it. You know, they'll give you a little Mickey Mouse sticker for memorizing a Bible verse. That's the problem. It's not to be memorized. It's to be walked out, to be a living epistle in our soul and in our spirit. He said, my son, keep my law. Keep it in your heart. Where? Keep it in your heart. Retain it in your heart. With me saying that, remember, now you got to remember this now. When I meditate it, it's downloaded in my soul. Now, what I'm going to go through a little bit and sort of fast. I'm going to try to make a point real quick. So as we meditate, as we read, as we embrace God's word, as we love it, as we exalt it, as we deposit it and retain it in our soul, something happens. You cannot not download his word and not have result, a positive, godly, righteous result in your life. It just doesn't. If it's deposited on a consistent basis, like Pastor said a couple of weeks ago about consistency, my friends, it even says to keep his law, his word, as the apple of your eye and the pupil of your very eye. He said, keep it in the center. Stay focused on. Don't take your eye off my law. Embrace it, love it, exalt it. Keep it as the apple of your eye, right in the pupil, right in the midst of your eye. Keep it there. Don't ever let it go. Retain it, deposit it in your heart. I've established that already. That when I meditate it, it's retained and deposited in my heart. My heart equals my soul, my mind, and my intellect. Now I'm going to read it real quick and we're going to go to another verse. He said, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Again, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Here we go. Verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 I just read. Now verse 5, he says something again that he hasn't changed the subject. He's still making reference to a complete subject. And we got to go back to verse 1 and remember to verse 1 to really get verse 5. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine, what? Heart. Verse 1, we establish that when I meditated, my spirit receives God's word, but my soul is also downloaded with God's word. He said, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Let it be stored in a reservoir, in a cistern, in a fountain. Let your well be full of wisdom. He said, download it in your heart. But then he says in verse 5, and this verse has been quoted for years in the church. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And the church always says, amen, hallelujah, and lean not unto your own understanding. Which is great. It's sort of like Isaiah, the church has always quoted, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's fine. But later on it says, in righteousness, that verse is established. So no weapon formed against me will prosper as long as I'm walking with integrity. And we've said amen to that verse for years, but forgot what it says. Four verses down the road from it. He said, it's in righteousness that every word is established. No weapon formed against me is only applies to me if me and you walk with integrity according to the word of the living God. So let's say amen to that one. Amen. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Amen! But it's in righteousness that verse is applied to our life. Same thing with Proverbs 1, my son, forget not my law. He said, but let your heart download my law, my word, my statutes, my love into your heart. He tells us to do that. Then in verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Why do you think he told me and you to trust in him with all our heart? What is stored in our heart, according to verse 1? His word. Okay, exactly right. That's why he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. If I'm downloading God's word, if I'm consistent with it, if this is my life, if I'm calling this my sister and my kinsman, what I mean by that is when you call it your sister, you're close to it. When I call it my kinsman, I'm close to it. So when he tells me to download it, it's retained in my heart. Then he says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. He says in our heart, because in our heart is the place where his word is supposed to be. Download it. Okay. What if I do not obey verse 1? What if I don't consistently, like Pastor said 2 Wednesdays ago, what if I don't consistently keep his law and deposit it in my heart? What if I don't? If verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, he says that because this is supposed to dwell in my heart. And if I don't apply verse 1, then I can't fulfill verse 5. But if I download it according to verse 1, if I retain it in my heart when trial, when tribulation comes knocking at my door, when sin comes knocking, I got a reservoir where I can go and trust Him out of. But if I don't apply verse 1, I don't have access to verse 5, Pastor, because there's nothing there. I can't trust Him with nothing in my heart to trust Him with. But if I download it, Pastor, now I can see why David knocked Goliath across the head, Pastor, because he was cocky. He just gave him a concussion. Whack! With a Holy Ghost guided rock. My friends, we've amen, trusted the Lord with all our hearts for years. But if there's not a download in our soul, then there's no way spiritually in the world that I can ever make it through trial or tribulation. Because there's nothing there but evil thinking, which is our own mindset. But the day that I choose to apply something that ranks first, when I choose to deposit it in my soul, I can dig deep through any trial, through any tribulation. I can go into my heart and His Word abides there in a strong manner, and I'll make it every single time because I took the time, we took the time to be consistent in Him to download something holy and undefiled is this word, my friends. But if we don't apply verse 1, we don't have a legal or spiritual right to verse 5. We cannot trust Him with all our heart, and we will lean on our own understanding, which is a sad, sad thing. As a matter of fact, He called our understanding evil compared to His wisdom. I can't afford not to embrace wisdom. Because when trials will come, tribulations will come knocking at your door. But I don't have to fret and worry if the answer's downloaded in my soul. It's when it's not downloaded that there's fear in my life. I can't make it with the good book says that the good book is my life. This, my friends, is discretion. It's God's plan. It don't do me no good out here. This is to abide in my heart. So when Mr. Lucifer comes knocking at the door, I can sleep. I'll be sustained. When he comes knocking, I can wake up and what's in my heart will talk to me. When I walk, my steps, my paths will be broad. Because I chose, when I say I mean the corporate body of Christ, because we chose to retain this in our soul. So when the hour of tribulation came, that's why Jesus made it. In the garden, His soul was saturated with the thoughts of the Almighty God and His humanity. And our friends, they could not tarry with Him 1 hour. They had other agendas. It's okay, they repented and went ahead and changed the world later. So we can't hold that on them. We can't afford to live our lives void of understanding. I saw help me, Matt, Terry, what was it? Documentary, what is it? That one. The other day, Matt and Terry had to help me the other day about 4 times. Of a gang in New Orleans, Louisiana, called the Gotti Boys. And these guys were ruthless, man. And I was talking to Matt about another gang. I've been reading up on gangs a lot because there's gangs in our town, my friends. So I read up on, saw the documentary, that one, of the Gotti Boys. And they were hardcore. They were right in the midst of that. They called it the Third Ward. And these guys were ruthless killers, and they admitted to, you know, having prostitution rings. They admitted to murder. They didn't like Mexicans going in their town, and they would kill them. They had no problem saying it. And I just say Mexicans because that's what they were talking about. And they would say, and they would carry a gun and shoot somebody. They wouldn't faze them. And one of them said, He said, this is all we know, dog. That's a common saying now. He said, this is all we know. And immediately, of course, as a preacher, you say, oh no, there's more to life than that, buddy. But you know what? What he said, Pastor, was the absolute truth. That's all he knew, was how to kill somebody. When you download violence, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it the issues of life. If you don't guard your heart from filth going in, you'll walk according to filth that goes in. He said, this is all I know, dog. And he had a 7mm and he was showing it like this. He said, I'll kill you in a heartbeat and it doesn't bother me. He said, this is all I know. And immediately I said, no, there's more to life than that. But no, I was wrong. There is more to life from the perspective that we live in. But to him, all he knew was violence. He didn't know anything else. And me, I like to be a person that you can take positive out of a negative every time, if you want to. He said, this is all I know. And he would brag about killings and five young men shot up in an SUV and the looting and that was going on in New Orleans. He said, even Katrina couldn't stop our lifestyle. He said, it didn't matter. The army coming in our neighborhood couldn't stop my lifestyle. Because this is all I know, dog, is what he said. This is all I know. And you can't change me. You can't take that from me. And I said, within myself, as I was watching the monitor, I said, oh, there's more to it than that. But you know what? I was right and I was wrong, because that's all he knew. He knew nothing else. And then as I just heard what he was saying, and I said to myself, Lord, if what he's saying is true, if what this man is saying is true, that this is all he knows, all I know is what I do. If what he's saying is true, then you know what? We have hope. Because he said, all I'm acting out, all that you see manifest in my life is what's in my heart. And if he said that, then we got hope. Violence in, violence out. Murder in, murder out. Perversion in, perversion out. Gospel in, gospel out. Love in, love out. Forgiveness in, forgiveness out. Strength in, strength out. Power in, power out. Jesus in, Jesus out. If what he said is true, and it is, then my friends, we have no excuse. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. The Gadi boys, they lived according to their own understanding, because God's law was not retained in their heart. And they acted out and lived out all that they knew. What if Jesus Christ was all that we knew? Wisdom is the principal thing. It ranks first. Chiefest. Jesus in, Jesus out. I refuse to walk void of understanding when I have perfection and purity before me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. If this isn't in my heart, I do not have a place to draw from to trust him with. I have no choice but to lean onto my own perverted, dark, logical mindset. My friends, it's evil compared to these 66 books. Wisdom is the principal thing. It ranks first to fill our hearts with who Jesus Christ is, baptizing our soul and our emotions with the word of the living God. Amen. Go real quick to Proverbs 7. I won't keep you much longer. Proverbs 7. My son, almost similar to the Proverbs 3. My son, keep my words and lay up my commands with thee. Okay, we can understand that. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding my kinswoman. Verse 5. That they may keep thee. That they may keep thee from the strange woman. From the stranger flattereth with her what? With her words. Now we got to establish what the strange woman is, or what the immoral woman. This is what the Lord showed me. Let's say, I'm going to use myself as an example. Let's say you take a Christian, a complacent Christian, a complacent believer. Very seldom fellowships with Jesus Christ. There is no consistency in his life. You know, he goes to church. He or she, they hear the word. They wipe a tear off their eye every once in a while. And then Monday through Tuesday, and then Thursday through Saturday, it's the same inconsistent walk. Nothing changes. All of a sudden, every person, every man, every woman from the face of this earth is taken off the earth. Nobody's here. But the believer that never consistently fellowship with God, has a born-again spirit, but his soul is so tormented and full still of the world. But every woman, every man, even Satan himself, is taken off the face of this earth. And he lives on this side of the street by himself, and on the other side is all the cravings of the world, the lusts of the world. You got, remember, there's no women or men here. It's just him and society. Nothing else abides. Everybody's gone. So instead of prostitutes, you got pornography. Instead of this, you got drugs. It's still there. There's money. There's the lust of all kind of things. It's there. But nobody else is there to force him to partake of these things. It's just him and the world system, minus the people in the system. So this believer, even Satan isn't there to tempt this believer that really does not have an image or a download of who Jesus Christ is in his soul. But yet all the things of the world consist across the street. Do you think that believer that has a foundation that Jesus Christ crucified is true? He's born again, but his soul is so full of the world, even without Satan. How many of you actually think that he will partake of what's across the street? By showing of hands, who thinks that he will? The majority, exactly. So, if there's not a woman there, if there's not a man there, if Satan isn't even there, yet he knows what lies across the street, he's born again, but he has no download, he has no conception of who Jesus Christ really is, of what he can do for a believer as far as making it through life. Yet all this is there across the street. Then who is the strange woman whose words, where does she abide then? If there's nobody there across the street, just temptation in the world system. He says in verse 5 that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger that flattereth with her words. So if there's nobody there, but there's all the temptations and the lusts of this world right across the street from him, and verse 1 through 4 is what we must do to keep us from the strange woman. Then where does the strange woman or the immoral woman abide if nobody else is on the planet? Where? Inside of us. The immoral woman. Strange woman. He said verse 1 through 4 will keep you from the strange woman, from the woman that flattereth. With her what? Words. But the words, Proverbs 1, of somebody else, downloaded in my soul, will keep me from the words of the strange or immoral woman. You know what that word means? That word keep means in the Hebrew? He said, verse 5, that they may keep. Well, verse 1 through 4, he said, what keeps me from the strange woman is verse 1 through 4, and I'm almost done. 1 through 4, putting his word in my soul keeps me from the immoral woman, from the strange woman. He said that they may keep thee from the stranger that flattereth with her words. You know what that word keep means in verse 5? He said, he put a hedge around you with thorns. So when I choose to deposit perfection into my heart, there's a hedge of protection, a hedge of thorns that is put up inside of me, not spiritually, but there's something that happens inside of me that keeps her from crossing over to consuming my mind. And that is God's living, holy, undefiled word. If 1 through 4 keeps me from the strange woman, if 1 through 4 keeps me from the immoral woman, if it keeps me from the flattery of her words that are smoother and sweeter than honey. Proverbs says that the words of the immoral woman, she says she's loud and she's stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. He says she's slick. Many men have been cast out by her. Many men, strong men. Her way is the way to hell. She's strong, she's loud, she's stubborn, she never stops. But one thing keeps a hedge of thorns between me and her. And that's 1 through 4 of chapter 5. He says, you want to be kept from doing the things that you shouldn't do? Baptize your emotion with God's holy, undefiled word. And they'll keep you from the words of the strange woman, of the immoral woman. Why? Because there will be a download in your heart where Daddy always speaks to you regarding the issues of life. But my friends, if there is no regard for 1 through 4, she will torment you till the day that you die. As a matter of fact, she will expedite your death. There's one thing, he said, that keeps you from the immoral woman. He said, that's the word of God downloaded in your soul. My friends, I will put up a hedge of thorns between me and her. Her words are loud and stubborn, but the words of my God are everlasting, holy, and undefiled. Hallelujah. 1 through 4 is my promise. Hallelujah. 5 is a victory of 1 through 4. Her words are sweeter, smoother than honey. The words of my God are life. They exalt us. They promote us if we search for Him or wisdom as we would a hidden treasure. I will, my friends, download His word in my heart. She will not torment me. She will not torment me. I will not bow my ear to her. When I have perfection living inside or laying on my lap and abiding in my heart, my friends, Jesus in, Jesus out. Strength in, strength out. This immoral woman, well, let me look in the mirror. Immoral woman, your days are numbered. There's a hedge of thorns that keeps you from crossing over. Now, she's always going to be loud and stubborn. But we win. Because as we put this in, we kick her thoughts to the curb. Now you take the same Christian, these last 5 words, 5 minutes and I'm done. Third closing. Now you take, let me use Miss Candy. She's a good, righteous woman. You hear Pastor didn't say amen though, did he? Did you, Pastor? Okay. Let's put Miss Candy in this situation. She's known Jesus. Strong in God. Pastor said 2 weeks ago about the power of consistency. For some reason, now this isn't going to happen. Everybody leaves. Nobody here. But the world system still abides across the street. Perversion. Alcohol. Prostitution. The love of money. It's all living right across the street from Miss Candy's dwelling. She's full of the Psalms. She's full of the Gospels. She's fasted. She's worshiped. She's prayed in tongues. And for some God unknown reason, everybody's gone. Even Satan is gone. Nobody's here but her, a heart full of Jesus, and the world system right across the street. My friends, she won't cross the street. Because you see, wisdom, when you sleep, it sustains you. And when you wake up, it talks to you. Why? Because there was a download of something pure, holy, and undefiled in her soul. She didn't even walk 3 feet in the street. She stayed her distance. She knew what was at stake. As a matter of fact, she put the door in the front to the back. She didn't even want to look at the system because of the download of what God was to her and her soul. Now, the immoral woman, she's stubborn and she's loud. But she can be stubborn and loud in vain if we're full of Jesus Christ. My friends, this book should be your best friend. It says, bind it around your neck. Write it upon your fingers. Write it upon the tablet of your heart. He says, search for it as you would a hidden treasure. Love it. Embrace it. Call it your sister. Call it your kinsman. For reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The Lord Jesus Christ, through the limbs that we know, is all that we need. It is never anyone else's fault. It always falls back on me and you. It takes me 5 minutes to realize that sometimes. But when you retract and you do something or say something you shouldn't say, you look in the mirror and say, my God, how could I let that offend me? And the immoral woman, she talks to us every day. That's her job. She talks to me about you, about what I think you should be. But the more and more that we grow in Him, we cut it off and we confess. Her words are smooth, but we just can't stay there when she talks and say nothing. If her words are strong and stubborn, then when she comes knocking at my heart or at my soul, I got to confess God's word too to get her to the curb once again. Because she is loud and she's stubborn. We got to combat her words with the words of the Almighty God that are retained in our hearts. My friend, we got that power. If this word truly abides in our soul. But I say every believer in here today has a passion and a love for the word of the Almighty God. My friends, we make it and we always win. Yes. Jesus in, Jesus out.
Hallelujah.
Perfection in, perfection out. Nothing in, nothing out. Complacency out there will be complacency within. Struggle out there will be a struggle in you. The Lord Jesus Christ is our sufficiency. Psalm 62 says that He is the expectation of our heart. He said, I'm silent about my walk, He said. He said, because I'm cocky. I'm paraphrasing. He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? Nobody. Nobody. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Jesus in, Jesus out. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart retain my words. I'm done in 1 minute, Pastor. I'm not lying. Cross my heart. I got a big heart. The thing about this word, if it's in me, if I go to Fort Myers, Pastor Brown, guess what? He comes with me. If I go to Mississippi, Pastor Brunk, when I go, guess what? When I lay down and go to sleep, guess what? It's with me. When I go to Texas in Christmas, guess what? It's in me. Mercy and truth will not forsake me because they dwell inside of our hearts. That's why I said, let your well, let your cistern, let it. I won't go into that because I'll keep talking. But you know what I mean by that. Wherever you go, Barbara, and if His word's retained in you, it goes with you. Ask Goliath. Ask him. Well, you can't because there's, you know, well, he's there. He's down there. See, I'm stuttering, so it's time already. Terry knows. She knows when I'm done because I start. But I think you get my drift. Jesus in, my friends. Jesus out. Amen. Pastor.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Let's just lift our hands for just a moment and give God the glory. Father, we worship you and we give you all the glory and praise. We thank you for your word in. We receive it with thanksgiving. Now, Holy Spirit, seal it in our spirits. Seal it in our spirits, in our minds, and let us always remember these words by your grace. And we give you praise and glory. Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. All the glory to God. That's a Rembrandt. That's a Picasso. Hallelujah. That's a lot of meditation. That's hours and hours and hours and hours of meditation. And when he was saying that, I was like, God, you know, you would have to know. You'd have to know that Proverbs being written to the church of how to live on a daily basis. When Homer was breaking that down through the Holy Spirit, I was saying, yes, Lord, it's absolute. I mean, yes, it could bring forth an isolated example of prostitution doesn't need to be working in the church, and God knows we know that, you know. And yes, that does happen in the church, but this was written for people to live day in, day out, day in. Boy, it just sounded like to me like more and more of judging the unrighteous judge. Hallelujah. My God. Homer, you did a great job. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. How many of you had a good time tonight? Amen. I feel full. Amen. Let's all stand. Thank you for your giving tonight. Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. Father, we ask you to bless now your people as they go from this place. Lord, we thank you for the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We thank you that you've given us something to live our life on a daily basis, and that is your word. And that is the one that we meet every day. We're able to bring forth that judgment that produces faith and grace and life in the Spirit. Now bless your people as they go from this house tonight. Bless them, and we thank you for Sunday service that is coming. And we thank you for those that will be saved and those that will be healed in the ministry of your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Greet one another tonight.